Sherbrooke-based company is looking to change the way communities manage water by developing a system that recycles wastewater directly inside residential buildings. The technology, known as Neptune 8, is now being tested in a 48-unit apartment building in Sherbrooke with the long-term goal of providing a new solution for communities facing water scarcity while reducing environmental impacts. The pilot project combines advanced water treatment, artificial intelligence, and real-time monitoring to transform wastewater into high-quality, reusable water while researchers continue working toward a future application that could eventually include drinking water in jurisdictions where regulations allow it. To discuss the technology, why Sherbrooke was chosen for the pilot project, and the company's vision for expanding the system to water-insecure communities around the world, I spoke with Jean-François Lamy, a founder and CEO of Neptune 8. To start us off, let's look at the big picture. For our listeners who are hearing about this for the first time, can you explain exactly what the Neptune 8 technology is and what first sparked the idea to create a system that recycles wastewater directly inside a residential building?
Yeah, well, it all starts from the willingness to kind of solve the universal access to water and sanitation puzzle. And, you know, what can you do to provide water to people when there's no water physically, locally in the aquifer, or the water is way too polluted? So, you know, you need a solution when there's nothing, like if you were in a spaceship, basically, to make it universally applicable. And so that's what's kind of sparked this project. I started working in wastewater reuse in 2010, but then the focus shifted to really secure people when there's no water. So basically, we developed a technology of robotic direct potable reuse of wastewater that directly received the wastewater from the building. So all the wastewater, the black water, the gray water, all of it, and treated to really, really high quality potable water. There's also no PFAS, no forever chemicals, no hormones, no pesticides. So the goal is to, you know, to secure a community in water, and ultimately gain universal access to water and sanitation, basically.
So you've launched this highly anticipated pilot project in a 48-unit building right here in Sherbrooke. What makes our city and our local community the perfect testing ground to bring this idea to life? How has the local reception been so far?
Well, I wanted to start it close to my home, right? The clients, Les Habitations Lecaire in Sherbrooke, they contacted me for my regular gray water reuse system first, and I provide them a proposal, and they accepted it. So I know that there was this project with this budget in it. So and since it was close to home, and it was this size of building is great, because it's just kind of the right amount of wastewater to make a nice little pilot, and the location is great, just, you know, across the highway. So I suggested them to make instead to provide, you know, my new technologies to make a pilot at the same cost, basically, so I would cover everything else. And they accepted really quickly. They were really enthusiastic about the project. It took, you know, probably two, three years, the whole process of, you know, proposing the project and making it happen. But it's great. It's a great platform for us to push further the technology as well, try new stuff. Yeah, we're going to work soon on the validation process of this technology, of this this pilot. We're going to spend a lot of time there.
For some people, the idea of eventually drinking recycled water that originated from showers or drains might cause a bit of a psychological block. How do you plan to address this yuck factor and build public trust? How does your technology guarantee that this water is 100% safe?
You know, when I try to find a solution, it has to work, right? It has to work for real. So, you know, I kind of asked myself what was needed for even me to drink this thing, you know, and to trust it every day and not even think about it. And so there's a lot of things we did to kind of reach that level of efficiency and safety. On the technology side, we merged artificial intelligence with the hypersensorization and in our process. So basically, we kind of have the Formula One of water treatment systems, you know, with sensors everywhere, and mixed with artificial intelligence, we can do some really, really, really advanced anomaly detection, predictive that kind of make the reliability side really, 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 really greater, and also reduces operational costs. So this is, you know, this is one of the stuff that the treatment process we have is absolutely, I mean, it's incredible in terms of technology and its capacity to really kind of destroy everything and make the water really, really, really pure, and to be, you know, able to take fluctuations, you know, the stuff that happened in real life in communities everywhere, you know, so it, the system needs to work all the time, even in the worst period of time. So, and there will be, you know, for public acceptance, there will be a huge validation process. Really, really, we're going to kind of demonstrate that our water is even better than the highest standard of potable water. We are working on the, because you still need like a sensor, you know, that tells you the water that comes in is contaminated, but contaminated with what? Because, and at what level? Because, you know, a treatment process is like a chain of process that is kind of sized normally for the average situation with buffer for the high scenarios. You need to be able to detect that, and you also need something at the end to tell you that the water that is distributed is really safe, like truly, you know, stuff can happen, you don't know, and you need to have something that tells you the water is safe. So we are working also on a sub technology that is called our Trident. It's our special project, and we are working on creating like a water scanner by merging really advanced sensing technologies with AI to be able to know what's in the water, really, not just what's the pH, what's turbidity, what's the, you know, the basic sensors we have, but what's in there? Is there bacteria? So, you know, radioactive products, anything like oil and gas, whatever. So, this will be kind of our tools to better control our station with that, because we will, you know what's coming in our system. So the system will instantly adjust to what's coming in, and we will have this thing at the end also to make sure that the water is always safe. So for me, that's going to be kind of the key to global acceptance of that. And yeah, and the, you know, the stations will be run with the highest standard, like, you know, like the airline pilots or the surgeon that operates. We're going to bring things like another level. So in the long term, I think we'll gain public acceptance for that.
So right now, Quebec regulations only allow recycled wastewater to be used for flushing toilets. However, your ultimate goal is much bigger, turning it back into clean drinking water. What are the biggest regulatory hurdles or challenges that you are facing right now to get provincial and national laws to catch up with your technology?
The system is basically a water treatment system that can do many things. So it takes dirty water and make it clean. So you can use the system for just to treat the wastewater, take back its heat also. That's another thing the system does, and reuse it for non-potable application if you want. Or simply releasing it in the environment like a normal on-site wastewater system. And if you want, you can drink it, but it's all the same system. We do one system, and we want to do one thing and make and be the best in the world at it. So in Quebec, I mean, people will buy it to discharge the water in the environment, without PFAS, without hormones, without all of that. And they will use it also to reuse it for non-potable applications like toilets and to washing the clothes and maybe, irrigations and stuff at low risk. I don't think like that the Quebec government will do any regulation soon to kind of make DPR, direct potable reuse, a thing in Quebec. We don't, I mean, we don't have enough water problems yet, but water scarcity is a problem in some areas, and it's coming, but it's not like, places like New Mexico, Arizona, California, really dry places still have some struggle to make those regulations happen and gain public acceptance. And also, so people in Quebec will buy it first for discharging the environment, recycling, and places like South Africa and India, and I mean half of the world population is dry, basically. Not dry, but drought-stricken. So in areas where regulations are ready, like California, they have their DPR regulation. We are working with them to surpass the regulation, basically. So in areas where regulations is there, and there's the possibility for people to use it as drinking water, they will do, and we will work with the most, all the government we can to help them, provide them with data, and everything they need to push DPR faster, so that eventually we'll get to universal access to water and sanitation.
And lastly, here in Canada, like you said, we often take our abundant freshwater supply for granted. But as climate change and water scarcity become global pressing issues, how do you see Sherbrooke-born technology like yours making an impact on the international stage? What markets are you looking into expand to next?
We target buildings in communities, so the system can go in individual buildings or having many buildings on it. We target private contractors, private builders, and also cities. I think our systems can be like an added decentralized infrastructure that will join the link, with the centralized infrastructure that the city has already. To accelerate the development of cities without having to build this massive central aqueduct and big pipes, because just having the funding is really difficult. I'm glad because it's in the news now these days, but there's a long way to go before this funding gap is gone. So I think instead of doing the normal thing, we can have decentralized robots and really much cheaper. So we are looking for or also for communities that are water insecure. If we think about Quebec only, there's the Nunavut and up north, they have water issues. I was there recently, and I really love, being there in the community and all. So And I learned about how they work and what's their water problems basically. And you know, Neptune 8 is a great solution for them. And we want to make projects there as well soon. Hopefully next year we'll make a pilot project there to demonstrate that the robots are able to you know, not just able but thrive in extreme situations like up north and also in the desert, for example. So after that, everything in between will be possible for us. So yeah, there's a lot of reason why, you know, territories or communities are affected by water issues. And we really try to make Neptune 8 answer, you know, the most of those problems and really make universal access to water and sanitation a real thing.
That was Jean-François Lamy, one of the founders behind the project of Neptune 8, discussing the company's wastewater recycling technology and its pilot project currently underway in Sherbrooke. The company will continue validating the system over the coming months while working with regulators and industry partners to advance the technology. Looking ahead, Neptune 8 hopes to expand future pilot projects in northern Canadian communities and other regions around the world where access to clean, reliable water remains a growing challenge. For CJMQ 88.9 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Joshua Bullard.